Hey everyone, this is Warlock Recall giving you your first summoning hour AFK recording. This is Monday, January 20th, and I was thinking about EGF's Power 5 Invitational that happened this weekend, or that concluded this weekend and has been going on for a number of weeks. Now, I love events like this because of a number of reasons, but the one thing that this one event lacked was a whole lot of public awareness. Like, unless you're one of these teams, or if you're really, really into Rocket League, or really into one of these schools, it was going to be hard to discover. I've been following EGF for a while now, and I didn't even see it come through my timeline. There's so much going on and so many followers that this event may not have had the media glitz and glam that it needed to actually get a lot of attention. But regardless, all of these events are really early in my opinion. I've only heard of a handful of like conferences running tournaments or running special LAN events. And so something like this, where you have this outside group doing a special invitational, that's different. That's a different context than what I've seen from some other collegiate esports. So this is a great starting point, and it's probably right for where collegiate esports are, and that it's small, it's very, very niche. It's growing, and it's growing very quickly, but events like this are new, or newly being approached from a individual host, so like EGF, as opposed to like Collegiate R6 doing a show match at DreamHack. I think it was DreamHack Atlanta or something getting ready for Raleigh. It was a little while ago. But so reasons why events like these are important. One, it's awareness. Makes EGF aware, makes these conferences known, makes people know that there is something more on the line than the league at hand. Or when it's the off season, what are these teams doing? How do fans keep in touch with knowing how these teams are changing? One of the biggest problems I've had following collegiate esports is knowing when a roster change is made. So one season of Collegiate R6 to the next, how many people were retained? How many people graduated? How many people left because it was toxic? Like, regardless of the reason why someone left, knowing that they left and how that could be changing the team dynamics, that's important to know. Now, and part of that also creates storylines, things for fans to follow, things to make content from. This is what non-players, what people who are interested in the space want to be able to digest and dive into. They want to see winning and losing. They want to see their favorite player or a new player come in, or an underdog stomp the Marysvilles, the UCIs, all of that. This content is that gateway to that. So this is setting expectations for the teams and the fans of what's going to happen in the next season. So like, this was a Rocket League event, but the Collegiate Rocket League by Psyonix starts, I believe, early February. So this is like an appetizer for the big deal. What teams participated in this? I couldn't go back to the last 4 weeks and find all the teams who participated in this invitational. That's a problem. But if you are one of those teams and you're a student at one of those schools, this was, and you have to be a fan of Rocket League, so that's, it's already really hard to get people into that funnel of understanding. But if you have school pride, if you're paying attention like I am, this is something that you can latch onto. This is something that you can go into and build some hype for that upcoming season. It's very nearly here. This is like everyone watching the Call of Duty League teams do their scrims on stream. People are reading into it a lot. They're theorizing. They're making all sorts of assumptions. But it's something for them to get into. Whether or not they're right or wrong, or if these scrims actually reveal any real information, it's hard to say. Because one, it's online. Two, it's not LAN. Or one, it's online and not LAN. Two, we don't know what these teams are, how these teams are really approaching things. Now that we're a week away from the CDL launch, you know that they're better. You know that they're getting ready. They have really clamped down and started practicing. It wasn't that way early December. So being able to feed your fans something to show that something is coming and that they have a reason to be excited about, that's got to be hugely popular and going to be hugely powerful. Another reason why I like these events is for anyone who wants to continue their esports profession outside of these clubs, regardless of your position, coach, manager, player, social media manager, president, vice president, whatever your role is and whatever responsibilities are, going to events like this and traveling with your team, that is experience that is going to be hireable based off of. That's experience that we've seen plague a number of players, and we saw it even in the Overwatch League first season. Players who had never been in the spotlight, weren't used to the media, they weren't used to LAN settings, they tripped, they fumbled, and ultimately they weren't as good as we thought they were based off of how they were playing online or in the Challenger League before they were doing LANs. So this is getting experience to everyone, and that experience is going to be the basis of the value of what these people provide in the future. We need to give them more opportunity to have that experience and be better for esports globally and regardless of discipline, top to bottom. This is more exposure to LAN settings, more exposure to travel, more exposure to conditioning. What's it like to play two best of fives back to back on LAN where you have to be at your best? Players don't know that. They do their best with all these leagues and everything. And like talking to Akron's captain last week on CR6, he was in three different leagues as a coach and as a player, and his team was practicing and playing in three different Rainbow Six leagues. That's crazy. And now they're taking on Challenger League matches. Like, they are stacking themselves up, but none of it is on LAN. They're beating themselves into the ground on an internet setting, and it's good. It gives them that competitive experience, but it's still different from LAN, which they'll benefit from as soon as one of these leagues can move to a LAN setting where they can afford to fly out the top four teams or whatever. This is good for schools, brand awareness, building a competitive reputation. As esports grows and traditional sports kind of hit their lulls within their student bases, esports is going to be more popular. Esports is going to have a place in that school pride, and people are going to register that. And doing these events where it is smaller numbers, where it is a separate tournament, where you can be like, okay, Power 5 or Mountain West Division Conference, and being able to talk through and have your school rivalry. This is bringing rivalry in. That's what we've really liked. That's what I've really liked hearing. That's why the Egg Bowl is a successful event. Rivalry and camaraderie in working to get that event set up. These conferences or off-season lands, as I suppose I'll give them that term, they mean something. They can mean something for the schools, even if it's not the big league, it's not the Riot League of Legends championship, it's not a TESPA championship, but this still goes the way of making more for your school, making your school more visible. And this is still better than traveling and competing and bring your own computer tourneys. Like, yes, that's LAN experience, but it's not as public. These are the bring your own computer LANs are, from my experience at least, they are, hey, you're at a convention, try and win something, there you go. But if it's still going to be second or third tier compared to being on the stage or being a premier event like a professional esports event at DreamHack or at the IEM or Katowice or anything like that, you know? So it's different and not providing the same value. It's also harder to make content around that. If they're not streamed, which is probably highly likely the case, you're also not getting a pure collegiate experience. So you can't say my UW Dogs just whooped up on the Cougs or vice versa, because they may not be traveling to the same event. That's a little bit of a disconnect that can actually play into exposure. And I believe you'll start seeing more collegiate show matches showing up at events like DreamHack and IEM and just all the bigger events that are around that happen regularly, right? PAX, PAX West, I think you'll see more collegiate events. They may not be full tournaments. They may not be like the top five or whatever. Maybe it's a show match. Maybe it's the in place of an all-star game, because we've already run like a week or so. This is a single tournament and you just need something to fill that gap. Instead of all-stars, bring in a collegiate team. They're going to be cheaper than getting the all-stars. They're going to be more accommodating. They're going to do whatever they can to get in front, because that's a huge exposure for the team and for the school. This is an opportunity for groups like the conferences to piggyback off of other events like ESL, like Face It, like IEM, like DreamHack, all of them. It's an opportunity to utilize those platforms until they're ready to support an actual esports infrastructure within the conference or within collegiate esports. This is a great way of providing value for the platform as well for the school, and it's not that much because those events are already set up for things like this. So that's a good place to be. And for the developers who don't want to take on officiating and executing on a full collegiate league, i.e. Rainbow Six at this point, Counter-Strike, this is Valve and Counter-Strike, that is. This is that opportunity for these other places to own these tournaments that the developers don't want to support, or they don't see the value in it yet. And they can always renegotiate down the road or kind of force their way back in, but we're also still talking about community involvement with all of this. This is a way to get in front of the community more often, more regularly, and on big platforms, big stages. Well, that's all I've got. This is 12 minutes long. This is my opinion. This is my away from keyboard ramblings and thoughts about events like this. And this is what I got for today. I hope you will listen to this and provide some feedback. You can always reach out to me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at Warlock Recall. You can also message me directly onto the podcast at anchor.fm/thesummoninghour/message.
Ladies and gentlemen, is the podcast. Yeah.